We read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 and 14 and 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. A story is told about a mother who approached an emperor on behalf of her son. See, her adult son had committed the crime of treason. And according to the letter of the law, her son deserved the death penalty. So she approaches the emperor and she says, "I don't ask for justice, I ask for mercy." "But," replied the emperor, "your son does not deserve mercy." To which the mother wisely responded, "Sir, it would not be mercy if it was deserved." The point of the story is that mercy is undeserved. It's helping someone who on their own is helpless. Perhaps you remember from when you're in confirmation the definition of the word grace. Is anyone here that I had in confirmation class? I think Daniel. Where's Daniel? Right here. I had you in confirmation class. Do you remember what grace means? Undeserved love. Just like grace is undeserved, so is mercy. There's nothing that we can do to cause God's mercy to show favor on us. There's no spark of goodness inside of us that elevates us in God's eyes above anyone else. We are on our own, as helpless, to come to God as that crippled man was to get to the pool. The mercy of God comes to us, undeserving sinners, through Christ Jesus. Now there in Jerusalem, there was a gate called the Sheep Gate. It was on the north wall of the city of Jerusalem. It was used to bring sheep into the city from the country. Because think about how many sheep had to be sacrificed at the temple. So they had to have a practical way to get all the sheep into the city without clogging up the normal gates that was used for foot travel. It was here, at this pool, that the invalids and would gather to be near to the pool that they believed had healing properties. This place was called Bethesda, which means house of mercy. And of course it is here at the house of mercy that we find Jesus ready to offer it. But why did Jesus choose to approach this one man, do you think? There were multitudes, our text says, of blind, lame, and paralyzed people here in Bethesda. But Jesus did not heal them all, because in other places we read of Jesus healing multitudes. But here he comes just to this one man. Why this man? Well, we don't know a lot about him. He'd been an invalid for 38 years. The only way he had to make money was to beg for the mercy of others. He didn't even have a friend or family member to help him get down into this pool. And yet, despite how pitiful he must have seemed, he still was not deserving, was he? Just as none of us are deserving as well. Remember the illustration of the emperor and the mother. Mercy is undeserved. Jesus approaches this man and asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" Another way to ask this would be, "Do you want to be made whole?" But the man doesn't even answer Jesus' question. All he does is complain about how he can't get down into the pool. Jesus approaches you today with the same question. Do you want to be made whole? Of course, none of us here have been paralyzed for the last 38 years. But the question still does apply to our spiritual lives. Do you want to be made spiritually whole? Now, there are many false teachers who would look at this and say, "Look, see, there has to be some kind of desire, a want inside of me that one has to accept Christ first in order to take that healing in my heart." But again, remember the nature of mercy. It is undeserved. There is nothing in us by nature that wants to be healed by Christ. It is only through the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we are led to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. From inside each one of us Christians, there's actually two answers. There's our old Adam, who's spiritually dead, who's trying to get us from being made whole, and our new man who desires to do what Christ wants, who wants to be made whole in Christ, to be spiritually healed, which we will be on the last day. I think that is why Jesus asks this man the question, do you want to be made whole? It's to make that very point. Because look, have you ever thought about that? The man didn't actually answer Jesus' question. There was no want or will in this man to rely on Jesus to heal him. All the man does is complain about how he doesn't have a friend or a family member to help him get to these pool with the healing properties. But the helper of the helpless, Jesus Christ, comes to this man and shows him mercy. And he does even more than he asked for. More than just helping him get down into the pool, Jesus tells him to get up, to take up his bed, and to walk. This man could not get up. This man could not take up his bed. And this man could not walk on his own. This man was the very definition of helpless and undeserving. And so were each one of us before we came to faith in Christ. We were spiritually dead. A dead person can do nothing to bring himself back to life. And in the same way, a spiritually dead person can do nothing to bring himself to faith. But thanks be to the helper of the helpless. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who's helping us culminated in his suffering, the terrible pain on the cross, and was shown acceptable through his resurrection on Easter morning. All these things he did so that he could be our helper, so that he could be our Savior. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever." Listen to that emphasis. Exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we can ask or think, the helper of the helpless, Jesus Christ, wants to help us. And he wants to help us more than we can even ask or think of in our physical needs, but more importantly, in our spiritual needs. Jesus told each one of us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Remember that woman who begged the emperor for mercy for her son? The emperor did relent and did show mercy by releasing this young man. It's only mercy if you don't deserve it. As crippled and as helpless physically as that man in our text was, we were in a worse state spiritually until the helper came. Jesus Christ, the helper of the helpless, came into your life and gave you more than you could ever ask for by dying on the cross. He fulfilled the law perfectly in your place by living a perfect life, and he has revealed himself to you through his word and sacraments. We, who were once the most helpless of all, can now wonder in grace at the grace and mercy that has been shown to us. As the Apostle Paul put it, or the Apostle Peter put it, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Thanks be to our great God and our great helper. We will sing of our great God in hymn 790, verses 1 and 2.
seminary.